Ignorance is the official language of Washington, D.C.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, though, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
It is Thursday, July 5th, day 531 of Donald Trump's Universal Championship reign. It is longer than Brock Lesnar's. It is longer than CM Punk's. And do you think Brock will have a longer reign if he just leaves with the belt?
Yeah, and they just get rid of the crabby belt.
Yeah, defense? That might happen.
If his is just the infinity symbol.
The infinity gauntlet belt?
Yeah, that's
like Brock Lesnar. It is currently 6:01 p.m., which means lots of news is about to happen. The Donald will be speaking to the WWE Universe in Montana quite soon.
Wow.
It's going to be a very busy day for the Donald. This was supposed to be a campaign stop, but while he was in the air, we found out that Scott Pruitt has resigned, changing our outline, and that is clearly the big show of the day.
Well, it's a big show.
That is the big show of the weekend. Yeah, so Scott Pruitt is out after many, many scandals involving his use of the motorcade, going to restaurants, trying to get mattresses from the Trump Hotel, using his subordinates. What are you using? Oh, yeah, he had them pay. This is my favorite one. Is he had them pay for their hotel and then didn't reimburse them.
That's awesome.
He tried to get a Chick-fil-A franchise for his wife.
Hold on. The line about travel is the most brilliant thing, a wrestling related thing I've heard yet. I didn't even notice that.
What was it?
Of the scandals, the line about travel, like, yeah, we'll reimburse you for your travel.
Oh yeah.
That's amazing. That is like
that's the most
classic WWF golden era Hogan. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, and in case it wasn't clear, this is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and pro wrestling, of which there are many, and we highlighted many of them in our book, The Donald, subtitle TBD. No, it's available on Amazon and presidentwrestle.com, and you probably have heard that if you're listening to this still.
And I appreciate you listening. If you're listening to this for the first time because you heard me on the Bill Press Show, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. If you're listening to this for the first time because of the writing that Chris Kelly does for established places like the Washington Post, we also appreciate that. All right, moving back to Scott Pruitt.
Yeah, so Scott Pruitt does all this, and basically he's been living like a limousine riding, jet flying son of a bitch for a long time. And it's finally caught up with them.
This actually is a wonderful segment because last week we premiered our brand new segment, Fair to Flair.
Yeah.
Fair to Flair is the way to do it. If you don't want to be fair to Flair, then do it the way you're doing. But if you really want to be fair to Flair, that's the way to do it.
Don't start with a Fair to Flair.
Goodness, please.
Do you think President Trump was fair to Flair when it comes to Scott Pruitt?
Well, considering he quote-unquote resigned... And we're pretty sure he found out when he resigned when Donald Trump tweeted it.
I think it was fair to Flair to Scott Pruitt.
I think so, too, because this is a combination of fair to Flair and who's next, the Bill Goldberg segment when a member of the administration on his way out for displeasing the Donald. It was one of these things where you thought he was kind of bulletproof at this point. There was just endless micro controversies with this guy, and then he gets like a mom at teaism. I guess that went kind of viral.
So Chris is referring to the video that was posted about 2 days ago that everyone will forget by the time you're listening to this.
If you haven't already.
Of a mother holding her, 2-year-old, something like that?
Yeah.
It's a small child and she's a teacher saying, Mr. Pruitt, please resign. Here's why. Also, please resign. Here's why. And that's it.
Yeah. And then she did the suck it symbol and then she gave a stunner. It was not very civil. Donald Trump doesn't care about that. Like, I don't know. That's the timing is kind of weird. Everyone forgot. Remember when we were talking like 10 days ago about all those babies in cages?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no one's talking about that anymore.
So which brings us to our brand new segment for the show that we premiered last week. Will WWE's Hell in a Cell 2018 be called Hell in a Cell?
And we will get to that, but I'm curious. This type of move seems like a distraction thing you would do. Mix up the booking. I don't know why do it now.
Great question. Yeah. I love that you asked that question. Here's why. I don't think he was actually forced to resign.
Okay.
I don't think he was forced to resign because Trump was very happy with him. It's the Donald, WWE Hall of Famer, the Donald. Whenever people say, why do you always refer to him as the Donald? Because, you know, people ask me this on a daily basis. I go, because in 2015, when he was inducted into that's a lie. 2005? 2009? Shit. Battle of the Billionaires was 2000.
I'm not good with
Bush
facts.
Was in office, and then WrestleMania it was Punk's last one, 2013. Yes. I apologize. At WrestleMania NY/NJ Part 1, because Part 2 is this year, he said that is the greatest honor of his life. He has yet to amend it. Therefore, since 2013, I will always refer to him as the Donald, because that's how he likes to be known. Anyways.
Yes, and we just took it to our other brain. That's how I got to that conclusion. So yes, it is his greatest honor, the Donald. What about Pruitt?
Okay, the resignation letter does not sound like somebody that was asked to resign. This right. sounds like someone that's like, oh boy, I'm going to kiss ass on the way out because I'm going to need this guy to pardon me very soon. The first line of the letter, Mr. President, it has been an honor to serve you in the cabinet as administrator of the EPA. When you're sworn in, you're not supposed to serve the president.
Yeah, no, you're serving the nation.
This is
domination.
the first paragraph also closes with, I thank you for the opportunity to serve you and the American people, et cetera, et cetera. On his way out, he is kissing the Donald's ass.
Yeah.
That's a power move.
Oh, he gets it.
He gets it.
He gets it.
He's all in. And we came up with this conclusion not 5 minutes ago. Who does Scott Pruitt represent?
So Scott Pruitt was trying to be Ric Flair, but he was actually Jim Crockett.
Okay.
So Ric Flair, you know. There was a documentary about him. It's 30 for 30. Everyone knows Ric Flair.
If you've ever listened to hip hop once,
yeah,
you've heard Ric Flair.
Ric Flair drop. So do not test me. Ric Flair drip. Go woo on a bitch. 5790 spent the coupe on my wrist. $multi-million, I'm a fool with the hits. Ric Flair, he cut promos about living that lifestyle, and he did to an extent, but he was also making money for his companies. Jim Crockett was the heir of Jim Crockett Promotions, Jim Crockett Jr. It was Mid-Atlantic Wrestling, based in North Carolina. It was Ric Flair's home promotion. They were the initial, they were what became WCW. To get to that point, they had to mismanage their way and try to live a Ric Flair lifestyle without backing it up. So I'm going to read a little bit from the great book Sex, Lies, and Headlocks by Shauna Sale and Mike Moneyham. So Crockett went to New York and hired consultants to divide for the same national ad accounts the WWF was going after. He also decided, much as Bill Watts had, that it made sense to move the family's headquarters to Dallas. So what he had done previously was Bill Watts' UWF was about to go out of business, and Bill Watts conned him into buying it when he could have just waited for it to go out of business and gotten all his TV contracts and wrestlers for free. So yeah, so he's trying to compete with New York and WWF on their terms. He's moved it from North Carolina to Dallas. They're trying to live this high rolling lifestyle. If Crockett liked Dallas for the change it provided, Dusty Rhodes loved it for the money it let him spend. One could only be so flashy in Charlotte, but in Dallas, the native Texan bought a red convertible Mercedes and a house in a pricey suburb where several of the NFL Cowboys lived. He also had Crockett sign the checks for lavish perks, like a 10-seat state-of-the-art Falcon jet that reached a top speed of 700 miles per hour. We were living like Frank Sinatra, says Arne Anderson, a member of Dusty Rhodes' inner circle. Your wife would drop you off at the airport, and two captains would be there to pick up your bags. Then you'd fly to the date in this private jet, and a limo would be waiting to take you to the show. When you're done, it'd take you to a 4 or 5-star hotel. I remember there was a little guy who worked for Jimmy. He must have weighed a buck and a quarter, and one day he walked out of an outdoor show in Florence, South Carolina, with his coat so stuffed with money that he probably weighed 300 pounds. We did $45,000 that night, all cash and carry. But did we need two planes? Did Ric Flair need to run up $60,000 limousine bill one year? No. So all those expenses eventually doomed the company. They were like $10 to $15 million in debt. They sold to Ted Turner, Jim Crockett Promotions, became WCW. And he was resigned to the history books.
Because, that's amazing.
Yeah, and that's what Scott Pruitt will be. Because it just got... He flew too close to the sun. Our little baby boy just flew too close to the sun.
Wow, that's amazing. So I finished reading the resignation letter. He says, served or serving or serve 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
The last line is everything you need to know. Thank you again, Mr. President, for the honor of serving you. And I wish you Godspeed in all that you put your hand to.
Did he say that?
Thank you again, Mr. President, for the honor of serving you. And I wish you Godspeed in all that you put your hand to.
Oof. I don't like that at all. Did Pat Patterson write this letter? I don't like this at all. Before we get down that path, what else happened this week?
This is the thing that's going to actually shape, you know, the future. This Scott Pruitt stuff's whatever. They're just going to have another guy in there.
Environment. But he's going to do other horrible stuff and be quiet about it.
Yeah.
And then just get away with it. Obviously.
As opposed to Scott Pruitt also getting away with it, we just had a giggle or two.
Yeah.
So nothing really changes.
It doesn't matter.
We got to book the territories. Speaking of which, what's going on with SummerSlam? Who's going to headline this thing?
Well, it depends if Daniel Bryan signs his contract or not.
All right, let's go back a second. I thought that the Supreme Court would be our big show of the week.
Yes.
Justice Kennedy announced his resignation from the court, effective at the end of this session. Which
effective
is like
as soon
now.
As the check to Donald from his son cleared.
Which we'll get to in a future episode. Sure. Because we have a lot. We should do a dedicated Shane/Justice Kennedy's son episode.
Sounds good.
This is going to dominate the rest of the summer and really boils down to two senators, Senators Murkowski and Collins.
Mm-hmm.
So what a lot of people might think tonight when we're recording this, it might have already been announced, is Trump might already announce who he's going to nominate tonight in Montana instead of waiting until Monday. Because why wait for the pay-per-view if you could give away on the free product? So this just reminds me of no one really knows who's going to be nominated. There's like a list of nine, but no one really knows, and no one knows if they're going to get nominated, and no one knows the game theory of are they going to nominate this
person?
The game
has a theory?
He's the cerebral assassin. Of course he's got a theory. So no one knows if, number one, if this is a shooter or work, but if we're going to, if there's going to be a nominee that's supposed to be passed, or they're going to be turned down, I guess, to say, but not advance, and then it will be an issue in the midterms.
Okay.
See where I'm going with this?
No.
Okay. We don't know what booking is doing, is what I'm trying to say. What is going to headline SummerSlam?
See, here's the thing. The booking politically is real easy. They're going to get the most conservative person they want, who's the youngest person they can get through, like they got.
Of course.
And the Democrats will go, can you not do that? And they'll go, no, we're doing it.
And I disagree. I'm not disagreeing.
Whereas the SummerSlam booking is actually interesting.
It is exciting. Interesting.
We know where
to
we're
you.
Going. Okay. Yeah.
So you had, you pulled something up from Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Okay. What is this in reference to?
So Daniel Bryan was asked, he's been having this long summer, and we talked about it when this happened, I think 2016 at this point, or was it last year?
When he retired, or when?
No, when Miz cut the Amazing Program promo.
It was 2017. It could have been 15.
I think it was 2016 on Talking Smack. The Miz cut this amazing promo against Daniel Bryan with this amazing work shoot thing. The best thing since the pipe bomb in wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been 10 years. And so he gets this promo, but Daniel Bryan at that time was not cleared to wrestle. He's been cleared to wrestle. Mm-hmm. He's been wrestling for a couple months. He got through a feud with
Big
Cass, who is no longer with the company, and he's now in a tag team with Kane, Team mm-hmm. Hell No, which he clearly had to, if you watch the product, the writers don't remember the storyline. They remember, hey, wasn't he in a tag team with Kane? But he's the one who remembers the details. They remember, like, Kane saying, you're like a brother to me is not good when you've tried to murder your brother.
So this is
times.
From the most recent SmackDown Live. This is Daniel Bryan starting to read from his list, the list of Daniel Bryan, of reasons why he does not trust Kane.
Apologize? For what?
May 21st, 2012, you chokeslammed me for absolutely no reason. May 22nd, 2012, you called my house and did nothing but breathe heavily for 20 minutes. May 23rd, 2012, I found a disemboweled squirrel on my front porch. May 27th, 2000...
Daniel, I apologize.
For which one?
For everything.
Look, you're like a brother to me. You set your brother on fire.
Okay.
Yeah, and Kane, he probably would vote for him if he could in Knox County, Tennessee.
Well, yeah, the fact that that Kane, sitting Republican nominee
mm-hmm.
for mayor of Knox County, Tennessee,
yes.
is wrestling, and that was in our big show of the week.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
It's crazy
it's
to
pretty
me.
Great. But, you know, they brought back, because Daniel Bryan's basically working his way up, and they're keeping him busy in the mid-card. They're trying not to have him hijack their plans a la 2013. And they're doing a pretty good job.
Very
it's over, but everyone's still like not just chanting Daniel Bryan all the time during other segments. Mm-hmm. So they've got this this program. Team Hell No is back. They're going to be facing the Bludgeon Brothers. They're having a good match with the Usos, blah, blah, blah. That's only going to get us so far. Probably Extreme Rules, whether they win or lose. You got SummerSlam in August. And so he was asked, like, do you want to see this match with Miz at WrestleMania next April?
And this is what Daniel Bryan said. I'm definitely up for it. You ask me that question, I will answer with the question. Do you trust WWE telling that story from now until WrestleMania 35? What in the last several years has shown you that something like this is possible? If something accidentally happens and they've got no control over it, it's possible that it can happen.
Yeah, so as we are in Donald Trump's infrastructure week, I just realized that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's like trying to control the narrative mm-hmm. when you obviously have shown that you have no ability to control the narrative. And so that's where Daniel Bryan is with it. It's like, yeah, if it happens, like 2013, mm-hmm. if that whole thing that they pretended was their big plan all along, mm-hmm. when they try to bury him and then he ended up becoming the biggest face they had in years, if that happens, it'll happen. But yeah, so I think, but now they're saying The Miz thing could happen sooner than later. Daniel Bryan's contract's up in September. He's saying things like this because he knows they can't do anything to him. If they don't re-sign him, that's his best. He'd love that.
So what do you think is more likely? WWE not doing Hell in a Cell due to children being locked in cages in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
or Daniel Bryan goes to New Japan Pro Wrestling?
Okay, well, Hell in a Cell is 100% happening.
Okay.
Like I said, it's July 5th. Nobody's talking about children in cages anymore. Hell in a Cell is fine. I think that what ends up happening is Daniel Bryan gets a lot of money from the WWE.
Yes.
Because they are really nervous about him going to mm-hmm. New Japan. Not even just for the whole, like, having his brain explode, kill his wife and kid thing.
Mm-hmm.
For just the fact that they're going to leave money on the table. They got him in
I don't disagree
a
with
bird in hand. Anyway. So you keep Daniel Bryan, you make him happy, you keep him in the mid-card, you give him a shot outside of whatever. I think that there's probably a good program at some point. The Miz gets this belt off of AJ.
Sure. I don't disagree.
And then the chase is Daniel Bryan versus Miz. And it's they're not going to know, they're not going to tell it, but it is a 10-year story. Miz was
Daniel Bryan's
mentor, all this shit. Fake mentor, NXT.
Hear me out. I think that they're going to try to punish both The Miz and Daniel Bryan
mm-hmm.
for reasons that have nothing to do with The Miz or Daniel Bryan.
Explain.
Who just bought the rights to SmackDown Live?
Fox, baby.
Fox. Who owns E?
Viacom.
Not Fox. Who owns USA? Fox. These are shows. These are reality shows. Now, you're shaking your head no. Like, yes. This is crazy. If I'm Fox, I'm not going to elevate NBC Universal stars.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see where I'm going with this?
They're not going to have any say over booking. They just want good ratings. And
once again, I don't disagree with that.
Sure, sure. Also, WWE's thing is to get into as many. They're still working with Fox. We don't know where by 2019. That's 2019, by the way.
It's one year away.
I understand. Well, WrestleMania will happen before Fox move happens.
But Daniel Bryan's contract will be discussed and how it relates to 2019.
Sure. I think that'll be on the table, but I don't think that's going to affect it entirely. I think that these guys are going to do fine because Miz is a good soldier. They know they can make money with Daniel Bryan. They're going to figure out a way to make money with Daniel Bryan that doesn't affect them making money with Roman Reigns. They got two shows. They got
Here's what I think happens. If they continue the story, as I think they should, they're mm-hmm. both going to be on Raw, and they're going to move into NBC
because
that's where their reality shows are with their wives.
Sure.
And then they're going to move Roman Reigns, and he's going to anchor SmackDown Live.
It'll be on
Fox.
So there's a move. But basically, whether or not this match and this story happens, it'll happen like Daniel Bryan says. It'll happen accidentally.
WWE stock has actually gone up quite a bit since this happened. And the reason why I think that is an important thing to talk about is because our trade war with China begins this week.
She's dead, Brandon.
How did you plan on saying that, or
no.
did you just realize it while I was saying it aloud?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
good.
That's how I was able to sell it.
Yeah, so the trade war with China begins this week. Things like bourbon, our prices are going to go up. Not necessarily in the United States right now, but it's also the kind of thing where a lot of distilleries might go under.
Yeah.
A lot of motorcycle factories might move to other countries to prevent having to pay certain tariffs. Get ready for some extreme rules / prices. Do we have an extreme rules preview, or does anybody care?
When is it?
It's not this Sunday. It's the following Sunday.
The
15th? I think it's the 15th.
Yeah, we'll probably do another one of these. Well, it doesn't have a card yet.
I think it's got a full card. It's got a full card as of like today.
Okay. Well, let's do a quick rundown.
No, do you really care about any of these matches? Just think.
Yeah, I want to see Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler both pretend to be Shawn Michaels
for 30 minutes. Come on.
Yeah. Where they both get to do their warming up the band.
I'm just incredibly depressed. That would be great if it's just 29 minutes of both of them.
Both warming it up.
With
the crowd kind of screaming, burn it down. Like, well, we got 9 matches, so
it's a full card.
I mean, and that's not including like the pre-show. So it's a weird pay-per-view.
Here's why I'm just incredibly disappointed forever. Nakamura is never going to get the belt, and that just really bums me out.
I totally whiffed on that.
And the fact that they're having him in a program with Jeff Hardy is like so depressing to me. Even though it's probably going to be a perfectly fun,
perfectly cromulent match. Yeah.
The one thing I want to note about this week, the week that just passed about SmackDown Live, Jeff Hardy is in his makeup period. He decided to be a patriotic man and wear red, white, and blue on his face. And then about halfway through the match, one of the announcers, the good announcer, unless you're fans of CM Punk, that he's not the good announcer. The good announcer, Corey, mentioned that that's the Union Jack. Did you not notice that?
No.
He drew the Union Jack on his face.
Kind of amazing. What I thought it was, honestly, after sweating it out for 10 minutes, I thought that the joke would be that those colors do run. I don't know. But yeah, Jeff Hardy painting his face, being a weirdo.
Anyways.
Not drunk driving.
It's not a good future for the
America?
Next pay-per-view.
Oh,
but it's a really good future for the WWE because it's one of the few products that you don't really need to worry about tariffs. Because everyone's an independent contractor. There's no union here.
Yeah, no, that's good. There's no tariffs on this shit. We can do a quick one because I just want to see if there's anything interesting here. Extreme Rules, as the name suggests, it's extreme. Ugh. Extreme Rules matches are hardcore matches. They're no DQ matches. But this... Because there's probably going to be two kind of stip matches.
One of the stipulation matches is Asuka Carmella lumberjack match.
Oh, that is happening.
That is happening.
Do they announce the?
They announced that on Tuesday.
That's not extreme. That's
I'm just telling you.
They're actually having a legit
extreme
rules
match. They're just having
a
rules match.
They're going to have a rules match with Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax.
So Nia could lose reasonably.
Yeah, because there'll be some chicanery with some garbage cans or whatever. Styles and Rusev. Singles match will be a lot
great.
Of fun, and AJ is obviously going over.
That's
it is
so
not
depressing.
Going to be Rusev Day.
God forbid we give it to a foreigner that understands that the world is round.
Yeah.
We have to give it to AJ Styles.
It's not
the dumbest
it's not
man
the Rusev
wrestling.
Day community, I'll tell you. Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, if Bray Wyatt is...
This is the one match I'm legit looking forward to. They do not put it in the 90-minute Hulu.
Oh, yeah. No,
there's
the 90-minute
no
Hulu was Roman Reigns.
There's no build. I saw that. That was very good.
So, Hardy and Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt... had a car accident. He might have been at fault. It's what happens when you make people drive 300 days a year. I'm surprised there's a moral.
And you're not a trucker. You're not a professional driver.
And you're not on, you know, caffeine.
Oh, quick caveat. Not quick caveat. Sorry, quick aside here. Speaking of driving, they just announced the new Fast and the Furious spinoff starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
Idris Elba will be his co-star.
Good for them.
And I think the reason why they're doing it is because he no longer wants to work with Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Which was rumored to be a potential WrestleMania card.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
There was our news of Dwayne The Rock Johnson moving back to Extreme Rules, the thing we've all come here for.
Obviously, Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, the leaders of worlds, versus the B-Team, Bray Wyatt's shoot brother.
That's great.
Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. They,
so
they clearly should. They should get them to be spooky.
They have them on the poster next to each other, being like, hey guys, you notice how they look alike?
Yeah, you shave this one, trim them down a bit. Yeah, as you said, Carmella and Asuka, another fuck finish there. As we said, Team Hell No versus the Bludgeons. Dolph and Seth doing a 30-minute Iron Man match.
On a 9-match card already.
It's just so stupid. And, like, the match they're trying to emulate, we've talked about this before on when we used to, back in the day, cover WrestleManias, not a good match.
Yeah, Chris is referencing the Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania headlining match, the hour-long match that, of course, ended in a tie, which made them go one fall more.
Yeah, but they did nothing for their... I mean, this will at least have a few falls. Their matches have been good recently, I will say.
What if it's a squash? What if it's like a 10-0?
Seth Rollins just keeps stomping Dolph Ziggler's fucking head.
Yeah.
No, I'm into that. That's the booking I believe in. Roman Reigns versus Bobby Lashley. Woof. Jeff Hardy versus Nakamura. If Nakamura... recovers from his injuries at the hands of a police dog. God.
Yeah.
Well, even the dogs are, like, just the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am siding with Undertaker, who hanged a cop in the ring. And Finn Balor
hung a cop in the ring. Well, WrestleMania Philadelphia.
Speaking of hung, Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin.
There we go.
There it is.
That's got to be pre-show, right?
Balor Club for everyone.
That's got to be pre-show.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll probably have a Mojo Rally versus the other jabron.
All right, moving on. That's the next Extreme Rules pay-per-view preview.
In case we don't get to talk to you in the next 10 minutes.
Biggest news story in terms of left field politics, not the main card, is Ocasio Cortez winning the Democratic nomination for House in a district that was from Joe Donnelly. Is that correct?
No, not at all.
Why did I get
Joe Donnelly is Crowley.
Crowley. I apologize. So, yeah, and he was, what, fourth in line to be Democratic Speaker?
Yeah, he's a spring chicken. He's like 59 years old.
The only thing I really want to mention with this, there's been a lot of comparisons to her and everyone else, but I think we're the first one to compare her to Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Ocasio-Cortez is the Kenny Omega of politics. Kenny Omega has a ton of power, but not on the main product. He is not in WWE. He is currently the heavyweight champion, or what is it called in New Japan?
It's the IWGP heavyweight champion.
Yeah, he's heavyweight champion. First Canadian that has held it since as long as we know?
I have to go down the Gaijin winners of the belt, but I think it's probably.
Yeah. changing the way wrestling is consumed without being on the main card, without being in America, really.
Yeah.
Playing in and around. She's essentially doing the same thing. She has now been going on late night appearances. She's doing Up, Up, Down, Down with Austin Creed or whatever Xavier Woods' real name is.
She did Up, Up, Down,
Down. Yeah, she was crazy. They did Mortal Kombat. It was a tournament with the Young Bucks. And she's changing everything and nothing at the exact same time. It's wonderful to see that. And it's wonderful that Kenny Omega is changing the way the WWE is dealing with their talent.
Yeah. And Kenny Omega will be. We're counting down to All In September 1st, 2018.
In not Chicago, Illinois, if you're listening.
Just outside.
Because of WGN, thank you for listening. That is the biggest independent wrestling show in, what, 2 decades in the States, at least?
That's not the WWE.
That's not the WWE. Independent wrestling
show. It's been a while.
So, yeah, they're already sold out. They're supposed to be, by the time you are listening to this, the announcement will have been made. Clearly, I want it to be CM Punk versus Cody for the NWA Championship, and that will not happen.
Right.
And if it does happen, I'll be very happy and will consider applying for press passes. Did I tell you I got my UFC press passes?
No.
I applied for UFC 225, I think.
Where's that?
The one that was on 6-9 at the United Center in Chicago.
Yeah.
I applied for that in mid-May, and I got my approval last week, so I'm going to be
so I'm going to go back in time.
Yeah, now I will go cover every single UFC show. Something I cannot cover every single time I want is the cast of GLOW, because that is a fictional TV show, and they just appeared on SmackDown Live for the first time 2 episodes ago. This is important because
feeling
for
the GLOW
first time, they are recognizing, the WWE is recognizing Netflix. They're trying to get that mainstream stuff, but they did not mention it once, even though at the start of GLOW Season 1, Naomi's catchphrase was, feel the GLOW. Okay. So
they have an awkward, do you, I mean, does the audio play at this? Does it even make sense if you're not watching it? Because it's like two women, three women talking at each other.
I don't know if you're being sarcastic in terms of like, or just mean because you're making a woman joke right now.
No, I'm just wondering if it like works on an audio podcast.
What?
Their backstage promo when they all met each other.
Oh, I'm not going to play that. But what I'm going to mention is you're not a fan of GLOW.
I watched the second season in 2 days.
You did? Okay, so you saw episode 2 of season 2.
When they did what?
They
did the thing. When they did
someone who
plays a Russian against someone who plays
a hip-hop dancer.
A hip-hop dancer.
And I thought at the time, like, oh man, I bet my wife thinks this is stupid, that like this seems unrealistic. At the end of May on SmackDown Live, there was a hip-hop dancer named Naomi against a fake Russian named Lana.
But who was also doing hip-hop dancing.
Doing a hip-hop dance-off.
Which, by the way, I'd rather see Allison Brie's character try to do hip-hop dancing than Lana, because Lana has that... CJ Perry, as a white lady, has that kind of uncanny valley when she does hip-hop dancing, where you're like, that's technically correct, but it's so white.
Did you notice when they had stunt doubles for Allison Brie in that episode specifically? There's like two moves where it's like she didn't do that move with someone else.
Put someone else.
Yeah, she like really tried. It was great. Finally, closing it out, sort of a philosophical question. If there is a time in your life that you want to stop watching the product, do you know why? Was it because of the product itself? Was it something going on outside of it? Was it the auxiliary things about the product? Was it Warriors comic books, some might say, or the poor or great video games, or maybe the CD you had of Stone Cold Classics, Country skipped? What was the moment in your life you're like, this isn't for me? Have you had one of those moments?
Well, I had it in my initial run as a fan when I first became lapsed.
And what was that moment?
You know, finding out that, like, girls exist.
Okay, so it was women. The idea of a different gender.
The idea of sex, yes.
Okay, so it was simply
it was
that.
Very hypothetical, yes.
Okay, so for me, I never got into it as a child. Like, I liked it enough, but I had zero pay-per-views and I didn't have cable.
Yeah.
So, Raw did not mean anything. Nitro meant nothing to me. My favorite wrestlers were Jake the Snake Roberts and Ultimate Warrior. Those didn't end well.
Yeah.
You know, those, one of them went to my university and said, gay don't make the world right. That's being Warrior. And the other one loved hardcore drugs. And we talked about that in a previous episode of this podcast.
They extremely ruled.
So when I only got back into this because Chicago Blackhawks' Patrick Kane was accused of sexual assault, and I was like, I need something fake to purify my soul. For the first time since that, 2015, probably 2016, I'm now thinking, like, maybe this isn't for me.
Yeah.
It's the current season of Total Bellas.
Yeah.
Are you watching?
I'm not. I'm behind.
See, now here's the thing. It's part of canon.
Yeah.
We're using shoot and work names, the exact same scenes.
Her name is Nicole.
We're talking about a wedding that may or may not happen. Mm-hmm. At first I was like super into this season, and now I just don't care at all. I'm seeing so much of JJ, who is a brother. He's not a good brother. Why am I watching this? It's part of canon.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to church, you got to read the whole Bible. If you're going to temple, you got to read the whole first part of the Bible. Because that's the Old Testament, right? Is that how that works?
Yeah, he nailed it.
I don't know. I'm thinking, like, will I find any enjoyment from Total Bella/Divas again?
Yeah.
Or am I a lost cause?
What about this season that's not doing for you?
I don't know. I think that Nikki is actually maybe questioning the idea of fakeness as a whole.
Yeah.
And seeing a 30-something-year-old realize this is jarring in ways that Daniel Bryan gets it.
Sure.
So every time he's on screen, I'm still like, I'm a fan.
Right. Cool, I get it. But she's just realizing that everything about her life is fake.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
It's real sad.
Do you think
But they're sad in like how like there are super fancy malls, but then you read every report, they're like, all malls are going to be gone.
Yeah.
But they're like, let's build a second mall next to this mall.
Let's have a New Japan show in California.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that. Do you think they're sad on a meta level because they thought this whole, we're going to work People Magazine into a shoot and break up our relationship and like not sleep together? And then do you think they were like, all right, the first part of their story, not the last part of the story. This reminds me of like Chris Benoit, Nancy Benoit. Nancy was with Kevin Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
They did an angle where she was a woman. That was her character. Mm-hmm. Very creative. Wrestling has never had a problem with misogyny. And so she was with Kevin Sullivan, but then she went with Chris Benoit in kayfabe, in character. It was a work. But behind this, they were traveling together, keeping up this facade.
Mm-hmm.
They're traveling together in hotels together. They got together. For real. She left Kevin Sullivan. She married Chris Benoit. I don't know what ever happened. They probably lived happily ever after. But the point is, like, do you think that they... This whole, like, we're going to do what we do in wrestling, which is, like, pump up excitement with fake shit.
Yes.
And then they were like, all right, we're going to take a break, wink, wink. But then they were like, should we take a break? Like, they really...
Yeah, they crossed over.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they said it like, ha-ha, we're going to take a break. But then they worked themselves into a shoot, and they actually broke up.
Yeah.
And it's now it's not
that,
fun.
I do think that
especially since the first part, the whole reason was, like, we're going to get mainstream... You know,
I think that did happen.
But they didn't get any mainstream. They had like about, because it's a fragmented media landscape. That's why wrestling is like just as much a thing as like Minecraft or whatever. You know, it's like not a thing because there's
wrestling,
too
much. In a weird way, wrestling is at a ceiling, but the bottom is also higher now. Does that make sense?
Like, no, it's the other way.
No, I disagree completely.
They're at the floor. The floor is higher, but the ceiling is much lower.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
So it's whether or not that the floor or the ceiling doesn't even matter because it's such a compressed thing. But I think that they... So not only did they work themselves in a shoot and break up for ratings, they didn't even get the fucking ratings. So that's got to be like doubly sad.
So that, but I don't care about that as much because that is the real life version that's not yet in this season because they, you know, they batch film it and all that. I think what's bumming me out is the realization of we're cutting promos for shows that don't exist.
How so?
Every other season was like, this is the Nikki story arc is she needs to get back in the ring. She's going to go through the surgery. It's going to be this big triumphant thing.
Right.
I get that. That makes sense. The other one's like, motherhood. I'm going to have a baby. The baby's the thing. That's the story arc. We're doing the thing. But when you start the story arc with, we're going to get broken up with and then get back together, but it's fake bullshit, and there's no real incentive at the end.
Yeah.
What's life? You know what I mean? Why are you doing what you're doing?
This podcast has like a strangely philosophical tone.
I'm not joking, though. Like, without motivation clarity... It's pointless.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of wrestling, too. It's all fake bullshit.
Yeah, no, life is pointless.
No,
just try to not pay attention to your imminent doom, and you just go on.
But I feel like in a weird, odd way, it's like, holy shit, is this show always been about JJ? Are we all getting worked?
We're actually all in
a JJ.
A VR simulation of JJ Bella's life.
But there's no more, like, the fact that they were in the Royal Rumble made me happy.
Yes.
It's like, okay, they're back. They're wrestling. There's a premise of the show.
Sure. But they haven't done anything. It's now July.
Exactly.
They're not coming back anytime soon.
What's the point? What's going on?
Yeah, Cena's off TV. Cena's off filming an action movie with Jackie Chan in China.
Yeah.
He's going to be a voice, or he's going to be in a Transformers movie?
Yeah, I think he's the star.
Yeah. He's Yeah, I think there's Bumblebee? Also, I think he was supposed to be in the movie, the China movie, I think was, he was took basically The Rock's role.
Yeah.
And so Rock's producing it.
Which is great.
Yeah, yeah, synergy.
But like, what's...
No, I know.
But why are we cutting, what are we doing reality for if there's not even a fake reality show, wrestling?
We could leave.
Did I just break my brain? We could leave. Did I have a stroke?
Yeah, we could leave with work a shoot into existentialism. Or would you rather have people watch Total Bellas or Glow season 2? Did you watch it?
I'd rather have them watch Glow, and I don't think I would have ever said that.
Yeah, I just want to get my quick. This is not going to be a great way to end, rather than you just going, "What is life?"
But go ahead.
So I watched Glow in 2 days, and it's a perfect binge show. I don't like binging shows because the shows I like to watch hurt. And you can't watch too many of them because it hurts too much. And Glow is the opposite. Glow, nothing. Even like, they're like, spoiler, someone dies of AIDS. You're like, oh, okay, well, what's the next episode? Is it going to be a funny ha-ha time? And it is. It didn't matter at all. There's no stakes at any point. And when they try to introduce stakes, they just go, yeah, we're done with that. It's really light. I'm really
So you surprised. Liked it a lot more than season one.
No, I didn't like it at all. I just watched it all. It's not a... It's fine. That's the best I can say about it. It's a fine show. It doesn't attempt to do anything interesting. It doesn't... It executes. It's... there's no wrestling or political comparison. It just does. It is what it is. Try to find a Democrat or Republican who just does their job and just, like, doesn't make... And people go, oh, it's so great because they're just doing their job. Right?
I don't think that's the argument.
No, I think people think it's really great, but it's not. It's just doing its job of being a show.
I don't know if I could get on board with that.
All right. Well, people like it.
People like it. I do like it. Yeah. But I don't think I would rate it more than, like, out of 10, 7.5. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a 3.25-star match.
Yeah, exactly. What's the problem with that?
Fun. Well, sometimes you want to watch New Japan.